Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Your catalyst for empowerment in the new earth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Yay! This is my last broadcast for 2018. Happy New Year's Eve, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us and for listening in. We have an amazing, amazing show for you today. It's all geared to assist us with empowerment to begin 2019 rock solid. I was thinking about this a few minutes ago that somewhere around the world, it's already 2019. So here we are beginning our new year. There's a lot of, Benny, there's a lot of noise in the background. I hear a lot of noise in the background.
Okay. Well, looks like someone might need to be muted and not me. Let's take a look here.
Can you try to mute yourself for a moment? Thank you.
Yeah. Could be on her end.
Awesome, because I couldn't hear myself talk.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, so, okay. Here we are. We're beginning 2019. You know, this is going to be one of the most liberating, creative, inspiring, lucky, feminine, intuitive years that we're ready for. It's all about building our new earth. And I am such a lover of astrology. I'm surprised that I'm not an astrology teacher yet, because I love astrology so much. I use astrology for myself to tap into the galactic center, tap into the planets, and tap into what the universe is communicating with us so that we can, you know, make a better way for ourselves. And I too found that astrology really assists us in navigating the paths before us. So I invited my very, very special guest, Paulina Outkina, to the show today. And she is amazing. She's famous on YouTube. So if you don't know her, she's got like thousands, millions, I don't know, subscribers on YouTube. And she's incredible. And that's where I actually originally met her. I love her insights and how she teaches astrology and how she shares her own inner wisdom and helps a lot of people in the process. So today I want to introduce you to Paulina. She's a motivational speaker, an astrologer, and a psychic coach. She focuses her insights to help people in the here and now, helping others find solid ground in the third dimensional world while expanding their universe. Her online presence is most predominantly on YouTube and other social media sites where Paulina keeps her work approachable, relevant, and attainable. Her books have made strong impact on others as she's focusing this year on self-study and creation of more written materials. Paulina lives a life of a traveler, and that's so true because you never know where she's going to be. And the seeker of knowledge, she shares what she finds with others and helps others grow in their journey daily. Welcome to the show, Paulina.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you very much, Cornelia. It's beautiful to be here.
It's beautiful to be with you. So we're going to talk about astrology and what's up for us in the new year, and what are the stars telling us? And so that's what you're here to help us with in the audience. And I want to let the audience know too, if they want to call in and ask you a question and talk to you about something, that they can do so at 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. So where do we start, Paulina?
I think it's probably relevant to talk a little bit about the new year as a practice, because I go by the energetic year, which for me starts on the 21st of March, because Pisces is like the ushering in of the dream time, and then Aries is the push of the new. So I always celebrate always equinox and solstice four times a year, because that to me is the marking, because that is the relevance of the sun and the planet together, you know, making a really beautiful formation, and that to me is the crux of time. But of course, if you're celebrating, please consider that Capricorn is not really truly the time for social creation, because it is 12th house to Aquarius. If you look at the collective as Aquarius, we are in this 12th house. So that means we're before the true creative cycles with one another. So we are in the silence, we're in the shadow, we are in the dark at the moment. And we're meant to be slowly, very, very softly and kindly engineering, mastering ourselves, and making no true break from the past into the new, simply because we can easily break the horns of Capricorn, and hence sort of disable ourselves from true practice. So here we are shining a lot of light collectively. We're creating a brand new start and brand new vision, which is very, very harsh, because Capricorn is actually the sign of the grandfather, the goat, the silent one, the cave, the inner wisdom, the inner teaching, and that which comes about with time. So it's a very practical, very perhaps not sentimental, but like a deeply historic time. It is like honoring the passing of time. It's honoring old age. It is honoring the ancestors, and it's also honoring of one's own true blueprint, which we are trying to perfect during our lifetime. So in that respect, is this really a time of gifts and change and shift and making too much impact, because it can very easily dishearten us later on in the year. So if you like, you can comment on this you know, practice.
I love it. So that this is actually, you know, for me too, because I have an Aries rising. First of all, I have an Aries rising. Mm-hmm. I'm a Libra sun, I have an Aries rising. So I too it very much aligned with that calendar that you're speaking of, with the calendar of the new year actually begins in the spring. And it is the Gregorian calendar that we're following with the Happy New Year 2019. That's the Gregorian calendar. So I absolutely love that you brought that up, because that is when I personally celebrate the new year for myself as well, is in the spring, in March, on the solstice, in the equinox, right? And I love that you brought that out, because a lot of time this isn't something that's well known, where you know, because everybody has been trained and conditioned to believe that as of January 1, you know, we're still deep in the winter, like you said. And I love what you said about not breaking the horns. Can you talk a little bit about that, not breaking the horns?
Okay, so every sign goes in three stages, really. You know, it's not maybe important entirely, but this is how I see it. Three stages, so 10 degrees, 10 to 20 degrees, 20 to 30 degrees. So in the first 10 degrees, it feels to me that we're starting to understand things and savor them. In the 10 to 20 degrees of Capricorn, we are becoming. So this is like the building up, the building up. And here's where the horns get broken to me. So in these degrees, it feels to me that people are becoming impatient. People are having rambunctious parties. People are trying to claim things that they've done, or to become best friends with somebody. Maybe they're trying to make love or merge. And this is truly the fastest track, especially with the sky at the moment, to really build. For example, if you had a career running from maybe even as early as September, or you had a certain type of campaign or idea or project, this could very easily become masterful if you just keep on connecting. It is kind of the energy of control and sustenance. It's like sustained energy. This is not about fast gain, but the more you sustain power, the sustaining force, the faster everything appears and everything grows, because we are here in the mastery of time. But it is also like not the most gentle of times to try too hard as well. So momentum should have already been built up by Virgo. So like Virgo conceptualized, Libra consolidated, then Scorpio manifested, and Sagittarius really dreamed. And then now we are becoming more and more evolved in that which we are to create. But if you're thinking about starting something new, it feels to me that Aquarius is probably the best time to really hook up to that. But yeah, for now, I feel it is truly the best time to retain, contain, and also not speak too frivolously on things, not to try and make an impression, not to speculate on your worth in society via the social presence as well, because it's very easy here to be in the midst of people trying to present yourself or trying to deserve a place. I feel that all the places have been filled already by October, November. So it's kind of a futile time to spread too much energy around, but it's a perfect time to sculpt and to form. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to express it. It's a perfect time to sculpt and form and get really clear, because one of the things that I was journaling this morning is, you know, with these energies is people are always like wanting to have everything like right now. They want everything like fast, right? Like, and again, that's, you know, that's the work of the ego. The ego wants everything right now. And so that's not the path. That's not the organic path. The organic path is the flow and the divine path. And so the ego is going to be, you know, really pushing people to the bells are ringing.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry.
The ego is really, you know, going to be pushing people because the ego wants what it wants, especially in art, right?
Yeah, I'm really sorry about the background noise. Yes, we actually have huge fast gain, and I feel that a lot of people got some speed with Jupiter and Sagittarius. So there is a feeling of abundance, expansion. People may see, oh my gosh, I could have manifested this, 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 and this. What am I waiting for? Again, sorry about the background noise. But it could be very perhaps futile later if we are too greedy about it. So, for example, I'm so sorry. There's a festival going on here.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Mexico right now. I'm in Tepoztlán, Mexico. There is a little bit of a sort of like a ethnic festival happening here, just over there, next door.
It was just a few days ago, or recently. You were just in New York, right?
Yeah, just I went to visit somebody, and then I came back, and I might go visit again. I'm not sure. Okay. It's like this. It's very organic, but Capricorn. Capricorn? What was it? What were we talking
about?
About
you know, the ego wanting the gratification.
Yeah, well, we actually have this huge build-up about the middle of Jan. I feel that a lot of people are going to get some very fetching ideas, and people are going to really run after that money or understand that things could have belonged where they were placed. Maybe there is regret. Maybe there is need to catch up to the past and maybe take care and take advantage of those situations and maybe even relationships. So we have like a quantum burst. But at the same time, yes, there are going to be people that are going to try and take advantage of, everybody, you know, trying to take advantage, because Jupiter Sagittarius makes us more innocent and more open to one another. So yeah, there is a lot of that going on. I feel that people are trying to structure certain type of dogma or certain type of self-representation. There's a lot of, it's not actually quite ego. I actually think it's more like regret for losses of the past and not being able to take advantage of what was. So it's like trying to catch up to one's own timeline, which of course eventually becomes either too much or it can become futile. So it could be either too dense or too flimsy. So it's very good to take time into consideration, but also not to stall. So this is one of the probably most intense balancing acts that I've ever seen in my life, trying to, you know, catch up, but at the same time, not to fall over, and trying to retain without retaining myself too much that I forget to take action. So I feel that's going to be an interesting balancing for Capricorn during this time, especially as we do have Saturn and Capricorn and as home at the moment. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for saying that. We're going to take a quick break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Janet Hickox, and I want to tell you a little story about a story and how my friend Cornelia Stephanie helped me through to the other end of that story. I have gone from the dark of a story I was telling myself that wasn't true to the light of optimism to see my way out of where I was and to where I want to go. And it all started with her scheduling a session for me to help me reclaim my money or my financial empowerment. Up until that point, I had been telling the story that my business was dying, that my business was not successful anymore. And the more I tried to figure out what was going on, the worse I felt about it. And when I had to get ready to do the session with Cornelia, she asked me to go look at the numbers and where I was through the year to date. And then also to come prepared with a number that I wanted to raise my income to. Well, I was quite comfortable with that part, right? I knew where I wanted to be. What I wasn't comfortable with doing is going and looking up those numbers. But I made myself do it, even though I tried to backpedal my way out of the session. She didn't know that, but I was going to try to get myself out of the session. And I looked up those numbers. And it was incredible that I discovered through that process that my business wasn't dying. In fact, I was doing 12% better than I had the year before. So I was shocked. I was shocked literally at the power of the story that I had been telling for months. But more than that, I was shocked that I had allowed myself to get there. And later in that day when I had my session with Cornelia, she pointed out some very obvious things like, how are you going to get where you want to go if you don't know where you want to go? How are you going to get there if you don't have the goals written out, if you don't have it set up so that you know where you are and where you're going to go? Totally makes sense, right? If I, and I had been in business, somebody else's business as a sales manager for years, and I was a national sales manager. I had awards for sales management. I had business awards because of numbers. And yet when it came to doing my own business, I totally forgot all that I'd ever learned. So by the time Cornelia, working with me in just one session, got me to look deeper at the numbers and where did I want to go and actually, you know, claiming where I wanted to go, I was filled with a sense of optimism and hope like you can't believe. It was like everything shifted for me. And I am so looking forward to our continued sessions to see how far I can really push myself to get where I've only dreamed of being, where I've never taken the dream and actually brought it into concrete existence. So thank you, Cornelia, for the work that you're doing out there. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to see where I go from here.
Speaking with Paulina Outkina. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Outkina, but Outkina. Outkina is fine. Outkina, yeah.
Outkina. And we're speaking of astrology and all good things and what's up for us in the year of 2019. And so Paulina is an astrologer, and she's got a famous YouTube following, and where she has, you know, does tons of video and content about astrology and how she got into it. Could you give us a little background on that, Paulina, how you got started in astrology and how it's really assisted you in getting to know yourself and your own self-attunement? And
Of course. I mean, this is probably one of the most exciting things, is that I didn't study with anyone. It got given to me overnight by an energy. When I was about 10 years old, I was very curious about astrology because my mom had a lot of books on esoterics, which is probably not great for a young kid to get into. But I sort of got into it because it was one of the funnest books because it had pictures. And I didn't really perfect it at that time. I just was very interested in it. And I noticed that I had like a natural remembrance of people, not by their name, but by their astrological sign. But I left it, of course, and I did a lot of different things in my life. And I never really thought about it seriously until I had this very extreme experience. So I was in an ayahuasca ceremony and I had an overdose and I didn't come back. So I had a near-death experience and I had to be, you know, taken to hospital and things like that. So it was a very intense experience for me, and much of my brain couldn't function, and I couldn't speak properly and things like that. So that lasted for many, many months. And one day I decided to take myself to Thailand. And when I was in Thailand, there was a being that appeared in my room in the form of a ginormous eye. And it just looked at me for a while. And then we started sort of connecting via astrology. It was quite interesting. So basically the first thing I did was, this is like after quite a lot of shamanic training, I connected my cosmos, so my body, to astrology. So for example, Jupiter is the breath. You know, Aries is the body, you know, things like that. Taurus is the mouth, you know, and the beginning of the digestive system. So I basically just connected, wired myself up to astrology as if my body was astrology. And then I didn't really think about it. I just started channeling it. So I wrote a book and poetry, and then I started channeling on YouTube, and people were saying, wow, that really speaks to me. Like, why is your information so good? And then I started getting to predictive astrology, of course, and predicting the month ahead. And I didn't really know why, but the chart just opened up to me, and it became, it's not like a child's game. It's not that easy. It's more like it became something that was just like, almost like just purging through me, or shining through me. And I didn't really understand how or why. It just happened to be that easy. So I feel that the first step was to get embodied and get very, very physically and I suppose psychically adjusted. So that does have to do with shamanic work and plant medicines and things like that, which I've taken. And after that, it had to be made, how can I say, it had to be made that I had to be empty. That's what I mean. And as I became empty, I became a channel for that specific part of the collective psyche, and also the stars and the planets as myself, embodied as myself. And this is basically how I do. Yeah.
Wow. That's a profound story. How old were you when you had the ayahuasca experience?
I was about 28 or 29 years old. The trip I took, I think I was, I could have been 30. I'm 33 now. So yeah, that's about right.
Wow, that must have been a pretty frightening experience. I'm glad that you decided to come back. And you decided
yeah,
to come
it was,
back.
It was, well, the thing is, at the time, it's actually quite dark because I really wanted to be in service and my life did not make sense. And I felt like everything was just a big irony in my world. And and parts I gave myself away. I just at the time I said, if I should die today, then I should die today. So I completely how can I say, taken myself out of myself. I allowed it to take me, and I feel that whatever was there with me, or maybe it was the plant, or it did actually take a big chunk of me. And even 3 years later or so, I'm still not the same person. I'm still not able to think or process information the same way. As just almost like a window is open in my head, and I just load up information, which then I somehow give away. So there is like a abundance, there's like a surplus of information. But for myself, I do not like to feel or think. So it's like being kind of empty. It's like being empty, but being also very free and able to continue communicating. Yeah.
I can identify with a lot of different things you say, because I have an open crown, and I also, you know, get a lot of the information you know, that I tap into, and being able to articulate the messages and being able to articulate and put it into practical form, into a grounded, practical form. I do that through my writing and creating. This is what I do. So I can relate to that. The other thing I can relate to is being empty, because I remember the time when my physical body from my life experience, my body, which I was relating to at that time as a kettle, and the kettle itself was full of pain. And so imagine the kettle full of pain, on the hot stove, overboiling, and it was really about to, you know, explode. And I really had to let all of the energy come out, all the pain, and examine and release everything so that I can be empty and discover what it is truly true for me, not the conditioning from the past, not the pain that I was attached to and carried around with me, but to really be an empty vessel so that I can flow. So I can relate to that very much. What would you say, what does it mean to come back to source or oneself? What does that mean?
I feel that the main concept is the here and now, and everything that you've given in the one experience that you're experiencing now. So it's like being able to be present and being open and honest about where you're at and who you are right now. So I feel it's not about a filter, as a lot of people try to be good. Like, we've been conditioned for so long to be good people, you know, be a good boy, be a good girl. I don't really feel that's relevant. I feel this is where it's actually depressing, you know, like people trying to wipe themselves clean, or like sort of straighten out and be more what they think is themselves. But I feel that the quantum truth is all the feelings, all the experiences, all the smells, all the tastes, all the sights, all the vibrations of the now, which then inevitably lead directly into you so much more than trying to connect to any high power or high vibration of self. But not only this, it feels to me that it's embodying you more and more, not being afraid of who you are. So like not being afraid of doing something wrong, you know, making a mistake or looking goofy. And eventually I feel this leads to super quantum state, which is where we become like 5-year-olds in the sense that we can just walk up to anybody, we can say anything, and we can just breathe and be ourselves, and no longer have to hold ourselves back because we feel somehow not good enough, or we feel there's something to hide. So I feel the less we have to hide, the more in tune we are with ourselves and with source for them.
Yes. And so would you say that astrology, after you learned astrology, when that being came to you, would you say that that was one of your ways that you learned how to really get you know, get this knowledge and articulate this energy?
It was quite weird because at the time I didn't know what I had. I just knew that the information kept on coming through and it was just running through my head. And at the time I was in rhyme. And I wrote a book at the time completely in rhyme on every single planet and aspect. And it was just completely insane. So it felt like just a constant flow of information, constant flow of energy. And I didn't really know what to do with myself. And because I was quite isolated energetically and socially, I thought, why not just do a YouTube channel? So at the time, I didn't understand that there was anything that interesting. I just thought it was extreme. It was an extreme state. And I still have the same states now, except I don't have to mask myself into any kind of rhyming meter. Like, it could just be thoughts or feelings. And I also speak in tongues as well, so I feel like when I'm speaking in tongues, I get probably much larger capacity for truth. I have much larger capacity for truth because language is a code. So speaking without a, you know, Anglican or a Russian code is easier for me. But yeah, it's like it doesn't feel to me anything epic. I feel that's the point, is because I feel that when it does, I don't know what that would feel like, feeling epic about it. I feel when it feels epic, and when, you know, like you feel like you've got something big, that's when something else crumbles and crashes down. I actually feel that's like a very interesting quantum joke. Once you have it, you haven't got it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Once you have it, you haven't got it. Exactly. How to learn astrology yourself? Where do people begin? Before you answer that question, let's tell everybody how to get how to subscribe to your YouTube channel so that they can follow you. Let's tell them about your books, where to get your books, and where your website, where they can get in contact with you, because you also offer readings for people. I recently had a reading with Paulina, and it was an extraordinary reading. Very tapped in and gave me a lot of insights and tips on where I am right now that really supported my process. So let's tell everybody, YouTube channel.
Should I say something?
Yeah, you should answer where people can get your YouTube channel.
Oh, if you just search Paulina Utkina, I'm sure a lot of information will come through. My website is https, you know, www.paulinautkina.com, something like that. Paulina Utkina, it'll just come up. And there's a lot of material there. There's a lot of stuff on me, like on Google and stuff. There's also some old stuff. You know, I used to be an illustrator, so there's probably like some of my old illustration work as well. But yeah, it's mostly like it's very accessible.
Yeah, I want to spell your last name. It's O-O-U-T-K-I-N-A. So Paulina, P-O-L-I-N-A, right? Because so that's really important, so that when you look for her information, that you can. What about your books? You've written several books. You've got an almanac right now that you're really excited about.
Yeah, I wrote an almanac for 2019. So basically, it's just like a day by day diary, and it outlines all the different shifts, and it also talks about each star sign for the month, and you know, it has a lot of information, basically everything you need for the year ahead. And I've also got Almanac 2018, but it's, you know, 2018. And I have also three books, The Dreamer, which is a romantic sort of almost like a cinematic book about a relationship that forms in the ether first, so it's like a twin flame relationship. And it talks about these people connecting and disconnecting, which illustrates the meter of the tarot, so it like illustrates within itself the meter of the higher arcana in the tarot. So it's a very interesting way to fathom what each card means. So each chapter is an arcana card, high arcana card. Then there's also Quantum Leap, which is really good. I had a lot of good feedback about it. It's a very strange book. It basically shows you the way to work with your kundalini without dogma. So it's like that energy, that animal, that feeling, that deep volcanic force within that is very, very natural. So it sort of talks about how to work with it without having a dogmatic sort of a very how can I say, tired old system to work through. So it's just how to update your kundalini and how to work with it in a new way, in a natural way. And then also there's Unleash the Beast, which is 127 Thoughts on Self-Mastery, which is basically it's more like of I'm not sure where it came from. It's a channeled book. The beings came to me, and I think they said they were the Dogons, but I always take it with a pinch of salt, you know, I'm not sure. But there were beings that came to me and showed me these different ways of dealing with one's shadow, and about how that beast, that shadow, is actually a path to self-mastery, and kind of like one of your greatest fears could be one of your greatest gifts later in time. So it's just about transfusing energy of the old, energy of the past, energy of fear into something very bright and light and very happy and very genius. So it's about genius outcomes coming from your shadow, or yeah, coming through transmutation of your shadow.
Yeah. Those are wonderful tools, wonderful tools. So what would you say, how does one get started in astrology? How does one learn, you know, astrology?
Okay, so the most basic thing I feel is, you know, if you don't want to do the whole quantum channeling thing, which probably is best, because I don't really feel it's for everyone. One of the best steps, okay, because it is esoteric practice, is to notice how you're living your life first. Is it really adequate for you to study esoteric materials? For example, have you got a baby on hand? Are you going to look for esoterics? Well, I have a baby on hand, probably not a good idea. There's a lot of energy of light and shadow. It's a very shamanic energy when you're studying a way of debunking life and debunking life's patterns. So if you don't have children, it's okay. If you are with a person who's very sensitive energetically and you're studying a lot of occult science, I feel that this can also aspect your person. I feel that always the best way in the world is innocence. I feel innocence is the best way. But if you, for example, are say in your 50s and you know the kids have left home and you have not really that much to do, or you're not quite sure which way to go, or if you have a naturally esoteric energy and somebody has told you before you have a very esoteric energy, or you have a lot of planets in your 12th house, or you have maybe a lot of Scorpio, or you have like a Pluto aspecting your moon or Uranus or something like that, there could be quite a lot of energy that doesn't know how to walk out without having a specific type of craft like tarot or astrology. So please first have a look if you're able and you're suitable to you know, to study. And also please take a look if you would rather live a different life. So a lot of people that are trying to learn esoterics and astrology would actually like to live a very social public life. And this is a shadow craft. So it's unconscious, it's underground, it's below the surface, it's always on the outside. If you really want to get into this stuff, it's being available always, but always in shadow and kind of like a part of your own dream. So as you work with tarot, especially and astrology, you'll find that you will become more and more to the other side. It's like you are, you know, beneath the veil. So if you are interested in studying it seriously, please consider how it's going to impact your life and your lifestyle. Also take a look if it's organic to your chart and if your children, loved ones, and also this is the support systems in your life are adequate for this particular craft. For example, if you are like say into modeling and you have like a clothing business and you really want to be social, perhaps studying astrology is going to muffle that a little bit. So please consider how that energy is going to impact you. Okay, so the first thing basically is to go through all the signs and feel them as presence. For some people it is good to see them as animals. For other people it's interesting to see them as personality traits. For other people it's interesting to see them as geometry. For other people, it's something else, you know. So just identify with them however you like. You might even be very synesthesiac. So, for example, Capricorn is just the color green, or like Pisces is just like turquoise blue. So associate as you like, because there's many different ways of associating with the different personalities of the zodiac. And then when you look at the stars, basically consider this, okay, we all have our own way of interpreting this planet, this plane, and what is the truth? The only thing that I feel you can do wrong is go towards the myths and legends here and completely discount the here and now. So, for example, for some people, the sun and the moon could be like father and mother. For some other people, it could be like the brightest and the darkest, you know, or like for other people, it might be like the quantum fun to the quantum sad. To other people, it might be the guide to, you know, the person that makes you lose, for example. Energetically, there's lots of different ways in which people can associate. So it depends how you like to see the drama of your life and how you like to see the drama of others. But this is the thing. This is why astrology gets really boring very fast or very, very strange very quickly, is because we can actually take our own interpretation of life and place it into the other person as we are teaching them. So the best way is through your body. I do believe it's through your body. It's just through your own muscles, through your own tissues, if you associate astrological elements with your own physical being. But if you are interested, yeah, many people learn through archetypes. Like Kepa Celestia is a very famous astrologer as well, and he learns or he teaches directly through archetypal, like mythological legends. I don't feel these are for me anymore, but for someone else, this is probably also the only way to learn. There's lots of ways to do it. I feel it's just more knowing of how it makes you feel. I mean, if you're an energetically adjusted person, then if you feel with your whole body, like the sun might make you feel like this, you know, for example, it's unexplainable. I can't put it into words. Like the moon might make you feel like sideways. For example, Jupiter might make you feel like your chest is heaving open. You have like a big ball of light coming out of your chest. So one of the most progressive ways is probably to do it through energy. But some people work through archetypal means. I mean, it depends. I mean, the path is up to you. It also depends on your past lives and your unconscious and how you process information as well. So you don't have to worry yourself about it. Maybe It's good to have a look first at a smorgasbord of perceptions that is already available. Some people do it for their body, some through their energy, some through the feelings they get under their skin. Some people do it through, like I hear a tapping, like it's quite weird. I feel a tapping feeling. Maybe some other people do it through imagining goddesses and gods, which is not easy. I feel that's not the easiest way to do it. Maybe some other people do it through like buttons, like different buttons. It's like you want power, you push Mars, you know, for example. If you want charisma, you push Jupiter. You know, maybe it's different ways. It's just important to not constrict yourself within any one school of astrology as well, without first having a look at how different people interpret it, but also human design and gene keys, and also have a look at Vedic astrology. There's not that much charismatic, shining, up-to-date information on Vedic astrology, but it's there. And also consider the Chinese zodiac, because that cuts right through. Chinese zodiac, Chinese astrology is from pure light. It doesn't have too many planets involved in there. It's all just like the full quantum sun. It's the phases of the sun. So I feel that Chinese astrology is one of the best ways to learn. If you want to also remain innocent and not affect your family. So for example, if you have little ones and you're like mom and dad and a husband, Chinese astrology will still put more into your family without taking anything out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, this is a brilliant explanation. Thank you. It gave a lot of different pieces that people can choose from. Basically, in the end, what it means is that really learn, you know, listen to your inner guidance and your intuition on which one is right for you. When you were talking about listening to your body, that's really how I tap into the planets, is that I look and see what my body wants to do. And I know when my body wants to move forward, it's Mars. It's, you know, taking action when I feel. And like today, I was feeling the moon really in the deep, deep waters. And then I looked at the astrology this morning and I saw that the moon was in Scorpio. And I thought, that's why I'm feeling so deep right now in the moon. So really, you know, tapping into your inner guidance system, finding out what's right for you. And I was going to ask you about the Chinese astrology, because you said, I watched on one of your videos, you said it was the year of the pig. So I want to be able to, we're going to go to break, Paulina, but I want to, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the year of the pig, what we can expect in 2019, and then really what can we expect in 2019 with the changes that are coming up, and really understand so that we can navigate all of the amazing changes that are happening for ourselves and for our planet. Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Charlene Hess, and I want to share with you my wonderful experience of choosing to use Cornelia Stephanie as my life coach. My life is so different now from where it was when I began working with her in 2011. At that time, I was in a dysfunctional marriage. I had my own business. I was raising two children and completely dead inside. After working with Cornelia, I began to gain confidence. I began to learn and understand how to use my emotions in my life. I learned how to process the emotions that were stored in my body, the ones that I thought that I had already worked through in my 12 years of counseling prior to working with her. The process that she had taken me through of using my emotions to heal my life, to use my anger to find peace, was absolutely incredible. I have been working with her one-on-one for many years now, and even though I am in a place now where I am thriving in my life, I still refer to Cornelia as my coach, and I still work with her on an ongoing basis, where we're always checking in and keeping me accountable in my growth. After working with her for many years, I decided to go through her wholeness certification coaching program, and it has absolutely been an amazing process. I now am a certified empowerment coach, and I got certified through her program, and I am taking clients and helping them to find the empowerment in their lives. One of the things that I love about Cornelia is that she taught me that I am the authority in my own life. And that was a really difficult experience to go through because it was really fighting against all of the dogma and programming that was so ingrained in my brain that all of the authority is outside of me. But as I began to understand and believe and adopt and know the truth that I am the authority in my life is when everything in my life started to shift and change. I became responsible for my decisions. I became responsible for creating a life that I love. And now I'm here in this amazing, beautiful place, living a life of so much happiness and joy. And no matter what life throws at me, I have the tools to be able to approach everything from a place of empowerment. And now I have the ability to help other people do the same. So working with Cornelia has absolutely been the best decision that I've ever made in my life. It has taken me from a life of absolute misery and given me the tools to be able to have a life of absolute complete joy. So I cannot recommend working with her enough. I hope that you decide to choose to have her as your coach. Go through her empowerment coaching program, go through her wholeness certification, and I guarantee you won't regret it.
We're back on the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and we are talking about Chinese astrology, and we're moving into the year of the pig, and Paulina's going to tell us a little bit about what is the year of the pig.
Okay, so the year of the pig is a bringing together. You know, if you think pig, this is very easy. It's like mud, play, joy, cuteness, you know, cuddles, love, sweetness. You know, it's a very, very soft turning year. This is where all the hereditary patterns might be able to be shared, but very much over time. It's a slow cooking year. It's like a curry. It is very soft. It is very sweet. It is very perhaps also annoying for those people that are very sharp and angular, and also perhaps people that are more strong and masculine, or that work on their own, or perhaps coming from a family of heretics, or perhaps have had a lot of family trauma and conflict in the past, because here's where we shine as loving, shy, natural, humble humans more than anything else. Things that cook over time work well. Things that have been in the family that have been flowering for centuries and generations are very well. So craft has been passed on from mother to daughter, you know, is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's very, very amazing to cherish older generation. It's very amazing to cherish oneself through old-fashioned, maybe traditional ways of being. And also very new quantum things can come out of being settled and being well and being welcomed within yourself. It's like slow turning. Things can come to an end as well here, and things can also become very hurtful. Fights are very hard to forgive, you know, like bruises don't heal very fast during such a time. It's a very generous, soft, classy, creative, sweet, sensual, sensitive time. But also, for example, if you've been doing something for 6 or 7 years and you're finally ready to really make it glow, you can. You know, if you've been a craftsperson, if you, for example, sing or dance or make something beautiful, you can really have the center stage, as long as it's become normalized and comfortable for you. But it is not a good time for teeth. So dog year was like teeth and claw. This time it's not good for teeth, it's not good for conflicts, and it's very, very hard to forgive. So that's the basic outline here.
Wow. So that's a good you know, good thing to tap into. And when people want to know more about Chinese astrology, they can just Google Chinese astrology, right? And there's information for them there, that if they want to know more about the year that they were born into, you know, because it also helps to know, like, what you are. Like, I'm a rat. And what are you? Do you know what you are?
I'm an ox.
You're an
yes,
ox.
I'm an ox, of course. I'm an ox, yeah. So I think it's like ox year, month of dog, then hour of rat, and no, day of rat and hour of snake. There we go. So it kind of goes like that. So it's like one within the other, like Russian dolls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I was going to say I've done a forecast for 2019. So all of that information, including the Western zodiac information, it's all kind of merged within one forecast. So I just like to talk about 2019 if you'd like. You can have a look. It's on my YouTube.
Yeah, it's on the YouTube. So what would you say are the biggest changes that we're looking at in 2019 around, you know, doubts, fears? What are some of the biggest changes that we're being faced with?
I feel that we have to do things slow. We've got to get wise, and we can't any longer break ourselves into pieces to achieve great results. I feel that we've got to get wise and get loving with time. I feel that we also have to grow. Something has to become larger, or something has to become more predominant in our life. I feel we can't any longer stay away from our natural impulses. So, for example, if nurturing is an impulse that one blocks off in order to get ahead in their career, that will need to be perhaps somehow sacrificed or changed or shifted. You know, I feel that we might even like change our genetic, structure here, because we might favor one way of life over the other. We can really mutate our genes during this time, or mutate our value system. I feel that one of the best ways to do this is basically being grateful for your past. And it is very hard in the modern age, but taking care of your future by taking care of your past. So for example, if somebody's got very negative view of themselves via their mother's side, or they don't trust their father or something like that, that's going to impact us a lot. So we have to somehow integrate and weave into the past ourselves, and the future, maybe generations, or the future projects, or the future life that we live has to be no longer in shreds. And, you know, if we look at us, especially people that have been attracted to the new age, we're people that have been in shreds for a long time, and we have ripped ourselves and our past to shreds. And many people cannot sit at a table with their ancestors, you know, they cannot sit, you know, together with their mom and dad calmly, you know, they cannot maybe even treat their children well. Perhaps there is a lot of neurosis, and this has to be I feel solved. Also, people that don't have anybody, and there's this invocation of the tribal family, the galactic family, tribal family. I feel that's very dangerous for us, for quite a lot of people, because they're going to start feeding others based on their need to nurture, and they need to merge, because this is like merging families, building homes, birthing children, that kind of year. And it feels to me that if there are no links and there are no chronolinear viabilities between people, this could be very wasteful and frivolous. So adopting people into one's home, trying to adopt or merge with a partner, trying to make somebody else's life better by making decisions for them, trying to no longer maybe even care where people have come from. So people can just like adopt completely random ways of life, or be part of a completely random scene here and give themselves away full-heartedly. But also I feel there's going to be some people that are going to be very jealous this year, because, for example, a painter that has been non-exhibited, so they don't exhibit their work, they've been just like painting for, say, 10 years, will start to maybe profit in the year like that from what they have stewed, what they have cooked. So they've been cooking something slowly for 10 or 20 years, and now they can exhibit and perhaps get a lot of money or a great following for their work, because it become traditional to them, even, you know, in a very short term formula. I mean, 10 years is not a long time, but, you know, people can reap great fruit from what they've been kind of stewing over for a while. So serious people, serious givers and serious nurturers and serious craftspeople, serious artists, serious visionaries are going to start being seen. But unfortunately, there's a lot of jealous energy, and some people might just pick up a pen and a paper and say, I'm going to draw as well, I'm going to write too. And because we've got this huge Jupiter in the sky and this incredible Uranus, there might be some people that can actually get ahead very fast and suddenly have a mini career. But whether or not it flies or not is a question, or whether or not it is feasible is a question, you know. So people can jump up and jump out and try to do something, and either they get hurt, or they start something that they perhaps do not even want to do later. It's also very easy here, people creating fake things, like, for example, fake treatments, or like fake substances also, shortcutting a lot of things, you know, fake medicines, like fake chemicals, and then trying to say, you know, okay, this is the quick way to get ahead, or like this is the quick cure for something. But that has probably not had enough research, not enough time. So there's going to be people jumping up and trying to show people something. And also because people are very soft and impressionable during this time, I feel that there are going to be a lot of people accepted into situations that are kind of like decoy people, or maybe they want to be very quickly blessed, like they lost everything and now they're trying to manifest very fast a position of power and control over other people, or a position of safety. The people jumping into situations for safety, that needs to be very, very carefully scrutinized. So like somebody suddenly wanting to marry into your family, or somebody suddenly wanting to be the head of the company that has come from nowhere and has had no past. So people that are invited are already invited, and people that are not invited or not yet invited are already there. So maybe if you take a look at your life now, you can already see Paulina, those themes are coming from.
You know, I'm realizing we have 1 minute left. I just want to thank you so much for saying that. We have 1 minute left
before
the podcast ends. And you were in such a flow. I was like, yeah. That's how she does her videos. You've got to check it out. Paulina, thank you so much for joining us today. It was wonderful to have you with us. I just want to let everybody know, go to my website at CorneliaStephanie.com. There's the Keeper of the Garden page, and I'm also on Facebook at Cornelia Stephanie, the Keeper of the Garden, which there's going to be a live event on Wednesday, January the 2nd, and I'll be talking about the energy of trust, how to live in trust in a new world. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We'll see you again next time. Thanks, Paulina. Lots of love. Thank you.
Thanks.